And why don't you read it with me? We'll go slowly. But these words have deep meaning. Are you ready? So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. It's a great passage. Don't take your clothes off, please, okay? This is before sin entered the world, and there was no threat, right? So we see God ordaining marriage here, and in this wedding ceremony, God officiated at it. Hey, Doc, this is the first surgery on record, right? Right? It's the first surgery on record. So it shows you the intimacy of marriage, a man and a woman. And well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that from Ephesians 5 as we go on. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask, who's going to help with the collection today? Would you come forward? Okay, thanks. I want to pray for the service today because this step of faith that Tommy and Lorraine are taking is just a great testimony to what God has done in their lives. And we'll talk more about that, but I want to pray through it all. God is glorified, that the name of Jesus is glorified. And not only that, that we understand that without Jesus Christ, then there's no hope. And if there's going to be hope in the marriage, Jesus has to be the center. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for what you have done in the lives of Tommy and Lorraine. We thank you, Father, for all who come out today. And we hope that from Ephesians, we all be encouraged in our relationships. Father, I know there are some here who have already lost their spouses. May this be a time of reassurance that, Father, they are too are a witness to your grace and your testimony in their marriages. So, Father, bless this time. We pray you are honored. Bless the offering. We pray you bless the gift and the giver. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled the message from Ephesians 5, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you have it on your phones, it'll be on your phones. But Ephesians 5, 21 to 33, and the title is Marriage is Sacred. I really, you know, I wrestle with titles of messages when I do them simply because I want them to have meaning. When I first got into the ministry over 35 years ago, and I was ordained I was pastoring my first church up in Bayville. I brought my credentials down to the clerk in Bayville, and I said, "Here are my credentials. What do you need for me to perform marriage ceremonies?" And the clerk, who was very nice, looked at me and said, "Reverend, even in New Jersey, a monkey can perform a marriage ceremony. Because you don't have to be ordained. You can get credentials online." How to cheapen this? Any way we can, right? And get God out of the picture. Marriage is sacred. I think if we're going to survive socially and spiritually as a society, we have to recover the fact that marriage is sacred. Something not to be entered into lightly. Also, something not to be circumvented. In other words, you don't live together. If you love each other, get married. Get married. Let there be some commitment there. And more specifically, get married in the eyes of God. And so, as we look at this today, let's go to Ephesians, and I just want to bring out some highlights here. When we typically, Bible students and scholars won't start at this verse. They'll start at the next verse because it plays into the male ego. So we're going to just squash that right in the beginning. This verse belongs with the following. He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit means you voluntarily put yourself under each one's authority, and it's mutual submission. This is not like, Ralph Cramden, I'm the king of this castle, or I'm the boss of this house. It's not like that at all. The fact is, we go through the passage, we find out that husbands have a high calling in all of this. When I say a high calling, this is something that we can't take for granted. And here, we'll get right into it. Well, first we'll do the wives. Wives, submit to your husbands, to your own husbands, as you do to the Lord. In other words, hopefully the wife is a believer, and hopefully she's submitting to the Lord, his word, under the power of the Holy Spirit, because there's no doubt in her mind that the Lord loves her. And the Lord would do what is best for her. Notice I said what is best, not what she wants. Okay? Big difference. What is best for her? Submit to your own husbands. Okay. This is the word obey. Too many times in vows, the word obey is omitted because it, in our culture, it became offensive. Well, Jesus became offensive, didn't it? I don't really care. When you have somebody who loves you unconditionally, it's easy to submit to them. And that's the picture of marriage here, right? For husband, the husband is the head of the wife. As Christ, and husbands, you should underline this, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, for which he is the Savior. In effect, what this means is that you're willing to die for your spouse. You have that type of unconditional love that you want what's best for her, and that you want to see her grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as the church is commanded to grow in the grace and the Lord of Jesus Christ, so that when he returns, we are presented to him as a glorious bride, as a church. I don't think a woman would have a problem submitting to a very nurturing man. But here's where the problem might come in. For the husband is the head of the wife. Which means it's kind of a double-edged sword, men. You are responsible for your family. You're responsible for your wife. You're responsible to love. You're responsible to provide. You're responsible for your children, right? And that doesn't leave the wife off the hook. However, what this says is, in a marriage, there has to be headship. And the final responsibility is with the husband. Oh, that's not fair. Oh, yeah, it's fair. It's fair. I'll tell you why. Because if a husband and wife don't reach a decision and mutually agree on it, then they're not done getting to the point where they need to get. This presupposes that in love, you're talking about these things and how to discipline the children, how to handle the budget, how to, you know, what kind of house do you want, you know, what kind of car do you want to drive, and, you know, all of this stuff. Believe me, arguments in marriages are caused by the stupidest things, aren't they? Men, don't leave the toilet seat up. It could be disaster. Too many times, problems in marriage are arguments over money, sex, and there's one more. Anybody want to take a guess? No? Priorities. Leaving laundry on the floor was just mentioned. We won't go into it. I'll do counseling after. But I want you to understand that this is not a dictatorship, right? Husbands, we have to be communicating. Let me tell you how important communication is. Communicating in marriage is just as important as your prayer life if you're a believer. Because let me tell you what happens when you're a believer. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you stop reading the Word. And the Word is really primarily how God talks to us. And we don't talk back to Him in prayer. We effectively cut communication. And here's what happens. When we cut communication with God, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, we go from saying things like, let me tell you what my Savior did for me, to let me tell you what I read about Jesus. It becomes a little less personal. And then the longer communication stopped, then you even stopped saying things like that. Same thing with a husband and wife. Husband and wife have to communicate. They got to keep those lines open and honest. You're not going to agree on everything. I hope not. You don't want clones of one another. But you have to keep communication open, without hostilities, without name calling, without all the typical stuff that seems to creep in. And you have to keep the relationship fresh and keep it creative. And that has to start with the husband. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body for which he is the Savior. Please, never go into a marriage thinking you can change the other person. It ain't going to happen. Only God can change people. I've met more miserable couples who say, he doesn't change. Okay. Or she doesn't change. Well, who are you relying on for change? Only God can do that from the inside out. It gets better. Look at this. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives, we should submit to the husbands in everything. And if I can just elaborate on that, we tend to go off the deep end when we read verses like this. Wives should submit to their husbands in everything that he directs, if it's godly and biblical. Gabish? If it's godly and biblical. If the husband's asking you to do something that goes against Scripture, now we got a problem. All right? But the scenario here is that the husband is going to ask you to do what's good in God's eyes. And wives should have no problem submitting to that. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her what? Holy. Cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Whoa. This is an unconditional love. This is a love that loves even when it's not reciprocated. Do you understand that? You know what reciprocated means? I'll ask people in the first counseling session, I said, I need to know your concept of love. Is marriage a 50-50 proposition? Is it a 60-40, 60 for the husband, 40, or is it a 60-40? And, you know, they'll go through all this stuff, and there was not one couple who gave me the right answer. Marriage is 100% and 100%. You're dedicated 100% to your spouse. Even if the other spouse is not responding. Oh, pastor, that's not fair. Well, love isn't fair. Grace isn't fair, is it? If grace were fair, you and I would not be here. That's the honest truth. All right? Now, if what I'm saying to you seems a little radical, that's fine. Think about it. It's the truth. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He died for the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. What this means is that we should be nurturing our wives so that when Christ comes back again, we can present her to him. There's not going to be any marriage in heaven. We know that from Revelation. But man, what a gift right now. And let's make the best of it. It goes on to say, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain, wrinkle, or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. If you don't love your wife, you don't love yourself. You know, there was a Christian comedian, I can't remember the name of him, but he used to have this mantra. He used to do this comedy routine on marriage, and he would say, happy wife, happy life. Right? In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. For who loves his he who loves his wife loves himself. And he goes on to say, after all, no one ever hated their own body. They feed, some of us overfeed, and care for their body just as Christ does for the church. For we are members of his body. What an illustration here. This is a high calling, right? For this reason, listen to this. For this reason, this is Genesis. A man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. Now, I'm going to read this literally to you, verse 31. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be glued. That's the word that's used. Be glued to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Do you ever realize or think about why, when a couple breaks up, especially a husband and wife, it's so painful? Or, God forbid, you know, one of the spouses dies. It's painful. When I was in kindergarten, I failed gluing 101. You know, where you had to glue stuff on paper, right? I was sloppy. I couldn't help it. It was just didn't work for me. But what I would do is when I make a mistake, you know, you let the glue dry for a while and then you try to peel it apart. What happens when you glue paper to paper? It's going to rip. It's going to tear. It's going to be pieces of one on the other. And that's what happens when a marriage falls apart. Because this principle is true. When you get married, you become one flesh. You're glued to one another. So, Tommy and Lorraine, you're stuck with each other. There's no other way to say it. For better or worse, right? We've lost this concept of marriage. We like to take the easy outs. That's why people don't want to get married and take the commitment. First of all, if you're the reason you're getting married should be that you want to be committed to a woman or a man because you see qualities in them of godlike love, if I can put it that way. And that no matter what happens, you will commit to stay together for the rest of your life. The divorce rate in the world is still high. It's come down a little bit because a lot of people aren't getting married anymore, which is the wrong thing to do. But the divorce rate in the church is even high. And we need to confess and repent of that. So, marriage is sacred. Not only is marriage sacred, marriage is long term. For as long as we shall live. Marriage is not going to be a Hallmark card. There's going to be bumps in the road. There's going to be problems that come up, health, financial, people problems that will always be then. The question is, will you be committed to working through it in a way that honors God? The other thing that we forget sometimes, too, and I tell us young couples when they get married, when you marry each other, you're marrying the other family. Isn't that true? For better or worse, you're marrying the other family. And who we are is a result of our family of origin. So as we get to know one another, we get to know our families, we work through those issues too because it presents some problems sometimes. But this is what Jesus said about marriage. What God has put together, let no one separate. No one. Not even the bride or the groom. Let no one separate. So are you ready to recommit? All right, here's what we're going to do. Let me move this. How's that?
Sure.
Joey, does that work? Good. Okay. So I feel like I'm talking to the camera now, right? So be honest now as we enter into this. How fast did 12 years go? Okay. No reflection, Tom. No reflection. And you guys have been through a lot. You've been through a lot. But God's still in control. And he kept you guys together through the ups and the downs. Tommy's an emotional Italian just like I am. So, who's got the rings? Okay. Would you give Lorraine Tommy's ring? And don't put it on them until you repeat after me. All right. Are you ready? Okay. I wanted to come closer with the mic, but that's okay. So speak loud.
Don't worry.
No, that's all right. Okay. Lorraine, this ring is a symbol, and it's a symbol of your unending love. That's why it's a circle, it never ends, right? Do you pledge your unending love to Tom for as long as you both shall live? And may this ring symbolize that unending love. Would you place the ring on his finger? Okay, Frank, would you give Tommy Lorraine's? Tommy, you agree that this ring is a symbol of unending love? And does it symbolize your commitment to love Lorraine forever? Would you put the ring on her finger? Just don't force it. Don't force it. I always tell people, don't force the rings. Just let them stay where they are. At least they won't fall off. All right, hold hands. All right? Tommy, you go first. You're going to repeat after me. All right? I, Tom, take you, Lorraine, to be my lawful and wedded wife, to have and to hold in good times and bad times, for better or worse, till death do us part. Right. You ready? I, Lorraine, take you, Tom, to be my lawfully wedded husband. to have and to hold in sickness and health, in good times and bad times, till death do us part. I pronounce you 12 years later remarried, rededicated to one another. May it be for another 50 years or more. And here's what I want to hear. I love this because this is a real story. This couple made 50 years together, right? 50-year anniversary. And they threw a banquet. And the husband was so moved that the kids threw the banquet. The husband gets up with a toast and says to his wife, looks her right in the eyes, 50 years tried and true. And the wife was losing her hearing. She said, what? 50 years tried and true. Say that again. 50 years tried and true. And she jumps up and she says, after 50 years, I'm tired of you too. May that never happen. God bless you. You may now kiss the bride. You may be seated. Thank you guys for standing in.
Thanks,
Frank. We'll sell you a video of this. No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. Only $9.95. Just don't record the Super Bowl over it. That's all. That's all. Listen. When God created Adam and he was alone, God recognized it's not good for man to be alone. And that's why he created woman. And if I can go back to that Genesis passage just for a moment, where God introduced Eve to Adam, he said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. I'm going to put that in modern day language. Here's how he would have said it today. Oh, baby, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. May you never lose that beauty, no matter what happens. And we all know, as we get older, gravity takes over. The waistline might expand a little. I think I lost 2 inches already in height. But no matter what, you love one another. God is good. And all the time. Give them a hand, would you? Now, Lorraine, the song you asked for is not covered by our license, okay? But I want to play this last song, and we all can join into it. And Melissa, would you come up? I chose this very specifically because every married couple here, or if you were married and you lost your spouse, you've had some glorious good times and some bad times. But But when we stand in Christ alone, he'll bring us through. Tommy, I know this is one of your favorites. That's why I picked it. So if you can, would you sing in honor of the couple?
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Here in the power of Christ. My benediction applies to you guys in particular, but to all of us in general. For those of us who know Christ by faith, and we have been born again through the grace of God, may we face life in his power and stand in him alone in the good times and the bad times. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time. Thank you for Tommy and Lorraine's willingness to recommit their vows. What a great, great act of faith. Bless them. Bless their children. Bless their house. I pray for all of us, Father, that we may leave here with a better understanding of what marriage is in your eyes. I pray your blessing on each one. Send us away in the power of your Holy Spirit, and we'll give you all the glory. We pray in Jesus' name, and God's people said,
Amen.
Very good. Go and eat. Have a good time.